If you will turn in your scriptures with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, be reading verses 1 through 23. Philippians 4, would you give ear to the reading of God's word? Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the peace of God will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. And for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering and an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Oh God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior, the Prince of Peace, give us grace to hear your word. Help us, Father, to be attentive to what is gathered from your truth. Grant us the strength to hear and apply those things to our lives. We know we cannot on our own learn of your love. Oh God, we need you. We need your guidance. Please give us the desire to seek you. Your word clearly tells us no one seeks you without the Holy Spirit working in their heart. Help us this day to grow. Help us to be ready to take advantage of this opportunity. Come into every heart here and prepare them to receive your word. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Paul thanked the Philippians for their generous gift. In closing this letter, he tells them with great joy that his God shall supply all their needs. His foundation for this statement is their faith in responding to his needs. He's not speaking only of his financial needs, but of many other needs as well. He says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." The question for you, is this true? Or is it just a platitude? Is this something Paul is throwing out because it sounds so spiritual? Is this really to be a part of your daily life as a believer? Is this something that really matters to you? Does your God supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus? This has to stand in all of Scripture is one of the greatest promises to believers. This should be seen as a great statement of assurance. In holding to this, there's some things you need to remember. First, you must keep in mind your God does not change. What he declared to the Philippians, he also says to you. He is the same today as he was yesterday and will be tomorrow. Second, you must also remember God never shows favorites. The Philippians were living under the same principles as you're required to live under. Third, you must understand the message to the Philippians is the exact message he has delivered to you. Time makes no changes in the eternal gospel. I'm afraid it would be very difficult, if not impossible, for most Christians today to write a comparable exhortation as Paul does here in verse 19. I've heard many things like, I tried that once and it didn't work. Well, my answer is, if you prayed, if you asked God for help, if you tried to obey his word and you didn't hear his answer, the problem was in your heart. For God is the same. And his power is the same today as it was the day Paul wrote this. The problem comes when there is a fear to trust in God, to stand in the face of terrible circumstances and say, I trust you, Lord. When there is a lack of faith in him to supply. Many people don't give to God. They don't give because they're so concerned with taking care of themselves. They spend so much time and energy on themselves, they simply forget about God. Thus, when a really important need arises, they don't know how to lay it before God. Please hear this. God never asks you to act foolishly with the resources he has entrusted to you. He calls you to live first for him. He desires you be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be concerned about the needs of others. His plan is for you to support his work, to care for those around you and those he has called to serve you. In looking at this verse, you must see and grow in your understanding of what it means to have God as your great supplier. First, you learn it is God and God alone in whom you must place your trust. Second, you understand what needs really are. Third, you see from where the source of these supplies emanates his glorious riches. Fourth, I hope you will note in whom the riches are contained, Jesus Christ. Paul begins this verse with the words, my God. Here's a statement of unwavering devotion. Paul sees God as his personal God. This is the God that led Paul through a difficult life, never abandoning, but always there to deliver it. It was this God that in so many circumstances brought discipline to his life. This is the God Paul experienced personally on the Damascus Road. This is his God. Paul was not standing on any philosophical idea about God. He didn't see him as some faraway, unknown God. He didn't see him as a God who never did anything. He recognized he was the living, true God. This is the God who changed the course of Paul's life. It was this God who showed him what the real quality of life was. This was the God who laid out for him his destiny in life. This God presented to him a whole new way of looking at the world, of seeing eternity, of understanding everything about life. Paul proudly declares, my God, whom I have come to know, he is my God. I want you to ask yourself, can you speak of God in such personal terms? It's imperative that you come to the place that you can. This should be the great aim of every believer. You need to come into a personal, living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If you can't see that happening in your life, then you need to return to the basic principles of Christianity. If you can't see those kind of things going on in your life, you need to examine your own heart. You need to see the sin that's there. You need to read the scripture and hear the promises of Jesus Christ. You need to acknowledge your need of a Savior and that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Call out to Him. Confess your sin. Ask His forgiveness. For this is the only way that you can begin to build a personal and intimate relationship with Him. Paul saw God as the great and supreme God who was worthy of all of his love, adoration, and worship. He saw Him as the one in whom he could glory. Paul saw there was something wonderful about God. Something simply overwhelming about Him. It overwhelmed him with joy. It was this joy that sparked in him a real desire to write and reveal the God that meant so much to him. Paul, through the years, experienced the faithfulness of God in so many different ways. Paul saw that even when he failed, God's faithfulness never let him down. He learned both the faithfulness of God and the mercy of God. God was the one who worked in Paul's heart to change him. It was by God's power Paul was enabled to go forth and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God gave him all he needed to carry out this great task he was given. Paul also learned something else about God. Something more wonderful than his heart could hold. He found God loved him. And God loved him so much and manifested his love to him in so many different ways. The greatest of these in the giving of his only begotten Son on Calvary's cross. With all of this in his heart and on his mind, he writes, "My God." This shows the warmth of this man. He knew his God was the God of creation and the God of providence over all of life. He saw he was the God of grace and the God who provided forgiveness freely and completely. He was the God who justified men and gave eternal life. Can you rejoice with Paul in this God? I hope you can. If you can't, then I call you to hear the gospel message and repent of your sins and turn to Jesus Christ. There's no other name given in heaven or under heaven whereby men can be saved. It is only in this salvation that God will become your God in such a personal and intimate way. After acknowledging his adoration of God and his intimate connection to God, Paul tells the people, "My God shall supply all of your needs." Indeed, this is a great promise. However, you must learn to see what your true needs are. There's not a hint here that God will supply all your wants. In our affluent world, some people have trouble separating wants from needs. The things truly needed are those things that will allow you to live your life to God's glory. Sometimes that may not include the comforts of life, or in some cases even the necessities of life. The real things needed to glorify God are overcoming sin, growing in the likeness of Christ, resisting temptation, having courage to stand for Christ, enduring affliction for the sake of the Lord, and yes, maybe even facing death in His name. These are the things that bring you face to face with Jesus Christ and open the glory of heaven. These are the things in this life that give you peace that passes all understanding. All of these things are your real needs. And Paul is saying, "My God shall supply all of your needs." Paul says, God in His mercy will provide all you need, the inner strength, the comfort, the power to live to the glory of God in the circumstances in which He places you. It's clear from the Scripture, deliverance from evil is at times God's purpose in someone's life. Remember Peter? Peter was arrested by Herod. He was thrown into prison. He was scheduled to be executed. And the Lord sends an angel to deliver him from that prison, from that execution. However, at other times, he will allow one of his children to suffer and die. Remember at the same time, James was arrested. He was thrown into that same prison. He was scheduled to be executed. And he was executed. There's one truth in this that's important to remember. God will repay every sacrifice you make. What you sow, you will reap. Not only in this life, but far more in eternity. In Luke 18, verses 29 and 30, Jesus told his disciples, "I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." So, whether you sow spiritually, financially, emotionally, or in any way, God will not be unmindful. He will repay. Understand, you don't go out and you don't give to God in order to get from Him. God knows your heart. He understands your motive. And He always responds accordingly. The need of the true believer will be met by God. God is a gracious and merciful God. And He has untold riches to bless His people with. Paul calls them glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God is gracious, merciful, holy, and unchangeable. It's this God who gives His children the inner strength, comfort, and power to live in and through the circumstances He allows in their lives. You must understand, the Christian life is an opportunity to experience the resources of God in your own special circumstances, however difficult they may be. How do you find these resources? There's only one way. You find them by relating your life to God. You do that through study and prayer. You must pray with importunity. Now, what does that mean? Turn with me, if you will, in your scriptures to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, verses 5 through 8. Luke 11, 5 through 8. Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." The word in the Greek for importunity means persistence or a shameless continual asking. The NIV translates it here, boldness. So, how do you use importunity before God? The only way is to know what God's promises are and to come before Him with boldness in asking Him to fulfill those promises. God will always honor His promises. When you pray, pray within the context of the promises of Scripture. And don't give up. Pray continually. Pray boldly. God promised, if we ask, He will answer as long as we ask according to His will. How are you to know His will? You have to study the Word. When you come to prayer, you must remind yourself of His promises. As you pray, you continue to base your pleas on His promises. This is not some quickie formula for answered prayer. You can quote all the scripture in your prayer you think appropriate. That's all well and good. But what God is looking at is your heart commitment to His Word. If your heart, in your heart, the promises of God are the foundation upon which you are praying, God will know. He will hear, and He will answer your prayer. This is why it's so of the utmost importance that you study His Word. This is the foundation of your relationship with Him. It's important that you also understand you have to live out in practice the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who is resident in your new heart. You need to make sure you don't make the mistake of believing by your own efforts, by the sheer power of your own will, by stoicism, you can attain anything from God. You have to remember, It's only by the grace of the Holy Spirit who indwells you that the promises of the Word can be applied to your life. It's only through Him you can find the resources of God. Paul's life is the best example of this we have. He underwent great hardship throughout his life. He's telling you that even though he was in prison under the threat of execution, he says, no matter what your circumstances are, you will find you have the ability to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will study God's word and pray according to his promises, he will hear and he will answer you. Paul says this has been proved through his own life. Now, Paul was really adamant about this. You can hear it in this verse. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God created a storehouse of riches for his children. He gives to them according to his will the very things they need to glorify him. He is a generous God and gives bountifully. This is the whole idea behind what Paul is declaring. Is all of this true? If it is, you have to ask yourself, are you living your life today as though you're in the presence of a God who is unlimited? I can tell you, I find it almost impossible to do so. The fault's in me, it's never in God. We have such a hard time living the right way. What do you do when you try and fail? You get up and turn back to God and repent because of your unbelief. God gave so many great examples of this in Scripture, of his faithfulness. In the Scripture, you find Joseph and God's watch care over him. You can find the children of Israel and their deliverance from Egypt. You can find the nation of Judah in captivity in Babylon, and God raises up Cyrus, a pagan king, to deliver them and help them rebuild the temple. Paul and his friends are delivered from the storm at sea. When God decides it's time to change a situation, he can come in because there's no force, no power that can resist him. The answer for you in your failure is to return to an absolute trust in God. For he and he alone can meet all of your needs. You must see that God supplies all of your needs. He has unlimited ways and means by which he can meet your needs. The Bible teaches God gives you strength and comfort. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in weakness. 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4. God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Let me ask you a question. Do you come to church with an expectation that God will meet you? That he will encourage you and strengthen you? Do you believe he will meet your spiritual needs through the means given? Such means as his preached word, communion, prayer, and worship. God says, my God will meet all your needs. So if you don't find the answer to your needs at first, then what you must do is try and try again. You're clearly told, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. You must be like the man who was importuned. You must be persistent, showing even in times of utter darkness that you trust in God and in him alone to provide the resources for your life. You keep going to God's word to study and coming before his throne in prayer without wavering. Those who come in this way will not go away disappointed. One of the greatest problems with all of this is your tendency to forget. Paul speaks of Christ's riches in glory. Here's the glorious resources stored in heaven to help you. This is what you tend to forget about. You fail in your trust because you forget who Christ is and what he's already done for you. The extent of God's giving is always to be measured in the gift of his Son. When life seems to be against you and everything seems to be going downhill and deliverance seems impossible, What you need to do is remember the greatness of the gift of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:32 says, He spared not His own Son, but freely offered Him up for us all. How shall we not with Him also freely give us all things? Not only did He freely forgive you, but He also imputed Christ's righteousness to you. He reconciled you into His family. And He made you a joint heir with His Son, Jesus Christ. He saved you through His Son. He sanctifies you through His Holy Spirit. All of these gifts are a part of the measureless bounty of a loving God toward His people. Paul saw that it was through these great doctrinal truths that God would supply all the needs of His children. That's why the first three chapters of Philippians are doctrinally centered. The fourth chapter is the application of that doctrine. And as you can see, it culminates in this idea of God supplying all of your needs in Christ Jesus. This is why so many fail in getting their needs supplied. They don't want to study the doctrinal portions of a book. But dear people, you can never comprehend how to apply the truth without first understanding the doctrine. Paul declares with great enthusiasm, "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ is weak. They are totally unable in and of themselves to live this Christian life in perfection. If you feel your weakness as strong as I feel mine at times, you surely wonder, how in the world can God ever meet my needs? The wonderful truth to hold on to here is God's goodwill is not dependent upon your merit. It's not dependent upon your effort to believe or be obedient. It is entirely based on the grounds of the person and work of Jesus Christ. All your needs are met in Him. Those needs are all grounded to the doctrines Paul laid out in chapters 1 through 3. Christ is the mediator. He's the intercessor. It's because of His atoning death you have forgiveness. It's through His work on Calvary's cross you have peace. You are treated as sons and daughters because you are in Christ. You were made righteous through His obedience. You are holy through His Holy Spirit. You have eternal life through the gift of His perfect life. It's through Jesus Christ that God is in you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? These are the unchangeable doctrinal truths, and they don't depend on your changeable feelings or circumstances. You are called to focus your undivided attention on the person and Savior of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To any who stand apart from Christ, I would ask you to stop and consider. What are you lacking in your life? Come, seek it in Him. He has what you need, be it faith or repentance. What a great promise this verse gives. You can come to Jesus Christ with all of your needs. You can take them and pile them at His feet as high as they'll go. And you can leave them there. He will meet them all. He will receive your every need, and He will renew your faith. He will be the source of everything you will ever need. He is the source of eternal life itself. So come. Come, place your hope, place your trust in Him and in Him alone. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that everything we need is in Jesus Christ. Help us to keep focused upon that and to place our hope and trust in Him and in Him alone. For it is in Christ's name we ask. Amen.